Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Raymond Burr's appearances on Fort Laramie and Gunsmoke as well. It's 2021 as I'm recording this, and it's the summer, and I hope you're having a good summer. This episode, I just was listening to my old intro, and it's a pretty generic intro. I'm just going to move it to a future episode. But I want to do a special one for this particular episode of Raymond Burr, Fort Laramie, just in that it has John Daner, who we hear lots of times as the heavy over on Gunsmoke. He's also the featured player in Frontier Gentlemen and Have Gun Will Travel for radio. Just a fabulous actor. Love John Daner. It also features Parley Bear, and both of them are just having so much fun, it sounds like, just chewing up the scenery in this wonderful episode. I just really got a kick out of it, and I think you will too. They're just such fun actors, and as a writer, Kathleen Height just gives them so much fun to play on with each other and with Raymond Burr, and it's a great episode. And then after that, if this is 2021 and I have these still hooked together, is Gunsmoke. And on Gunsmoke, it's called Passive Resistance. And Passive Resistance, of course, would become a huge thing in the 60s, but it'd been around for a long time. Certainly, I think Gandhi was one of the folks that pushed Passive Resistance at first. And it's interesting to hear it played out in an episode of Gunsmoke, so I think you'll enjoy this episode as well. Some great sounding episodes. I try and bring in the highest quality sound quality I can find for Gunsmoke and for Fort Laramie, and these episodes recently have just been really nice, sparkling sound. So it sounds like you're in the room sometimes with William Conrad, and I just love that. Certainly, both these actors on both these shows, both William Conrad and Raymond Burr, are just amazing. And then their background actors they have are fabulous, too. So, anyway, hope you're going to enjoy it, and we'll see you guys next time.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
She wore a yellow ribbon, she wore it in the winter and the merry month of May. And when they asked her why...
Enough, Feeny! Enough,
she said,
enough!
Her lover who was far, far away, far away, far away. Oh, she wore it for her lover who was far, far away. Oh, my gracious.
There's a certain amount of spirit in you, Feeny. I can't say it's anything I warm to, but spirit it is.
And there's a certain amount of spirit in you, too, Meriwether. You've been draining them bottles of mine right regular, seems to me.
Fortification, Feeney. And, defense.
You talk like you already joined up.
Ah, a gift of the creative mind. I see myself riding forward with the troops, dodging an arrow here, a bullet there, guidons flying, death-defying.
Have you ever been on a horse, Meriwether?
You dare ask that of the man who played Richard III for 314 stirring performance, not to say memorable.
Just how many bottles of my snake potion have you inhaled?
A horse! A horse! My kingdom for a horse! Ah. It's a remarkable elixir, Feeney. You notice a new depth and resonance to my tone. A horse!
A customer of mine down in Colorado got a brand new voice from drinking my mixture. Used to bellow like a calf, folks said. Took six bottles to turn the trick, but today they call him Whispering Ruggles.
You're trying to alarm me.
He cured his calluses, too. Ate them clean off.
Yep. Ah, cruel fortune. Did you see that, Feeney? The bottle slipped through my careless fingers.
I seen you pitch it out. I don't think you're brave enough for the Army, Meriwether. Whoa, Posey. Whoa, girl. Ease too, girl. That's the way. Now, you're decided, are you?
An imposing sight, yon fortress.
Once we cross that bridge, enter them gates, we're down to cases, Meriwether. You ain't decided on army life. You better climb down off in this wagon right now.
Country above heart, Feeney. The fire of the patriot burns bright within me. Drive on. I long to rejoin my old regiment.
You long for a belly full of food, just like me.
To the colors, Feeney. Drive on.
Get up, Posey girl. At the gallop, ho.
If you can write, fill out the forms there. If you can't write, but you can talk, tell me, I'll fill them out. If you can't write or talk, we don't need you.
About my uniform, Colonel.
Who said that?
I spoke quite clearly and distinctly, I believe.
You?
I.
What's your name, mister?
Granville Meriwether.
You some kind of funny man, mister?
I dare say I'm not without humor. Not to the point of buffoonery, mind you.
Stand up, mister.
Very well.
You want to make that yes, Sergeant?
Why, yes, Sergeant, I believe I do.
Now, what's your name?
Granville Meriwether.
Your real name, mister.
Yeah. I suppose I must.
I'm waiting.
It's a... Botkin, Sergeant. Arnie Botkin.
Arnie Botkin? Oh, no, now that sets me off. Arnie Botkin. Why, there ain't no such a name as Arnie Botkin. Why,
you another funny man,
oh,
mister.
Well, I ain't near as funny as he is. I done a little sleight of hand in my time, but I never produced no Granville Meriwether out of a Arnie Botkin. Arnie Botkin, there's no such name.
Must I be subjected to this ridicule, I say, sir? Is this the reward of a patriot?
You two together?
Alas, we are, but only in these last dark days.
Well, it comes from me having a heart of gold, Sergeant. I let him join my act, you might say, seeing he was down on his...
Pure distortion, pure distortion. Allow me, sir, your ear...
Now, wait. Just you wait, or I'll allow you a sight more in my ear. Now, I tell you, we get ourselves some strange ones in this army, but I swear you two come right close to the limit.
You ain't saying we can't get in,
sir. A man has his rights, sir, and precious among them is the right to heed his country's call to arms. Stand to the colors, man, against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Are you going to stop, mister?
Well, I must say, yes.
All right. Now we'll do this one at a time. You, what's your name?
Feeney?
Phineas Feeney.
Where you from?
From?
You got a home?
Well, it's right outside the door, Sergeant. Posey and me, we got this little wagon rig, and wherever we light at sundown, that's home.
Posey, you married?
Indeed, oh, indeed. And may I say, sir, no couple were ever more ideally suited. I beg pardon, Sergeant.
Posey's my horse. I used to work the riverboats, Mississippi, anywhere from St. Louis to New Orleans, dancing, singing, minstrel work. Since the war, I got itchy feet to come west. The last 4 years, I've been over the most of it, too.
Put down, you're an actor.
Oh, I must protest. In the name of the spoken word, the ancient art, call him what he is, but do not degrade my honored profession.
I run a little medicine show, Sergeant. Oh, I got pots and pans and calico, but mostly I entertain folks into buying a little tonic I put together.
If you must put a trade behind his name, inscribe the words low comedy, but in deference to the Drews, in the name of Edwin Booth and Morris Barrymore, yea, and Granville Merriweather.
Are you spoiling for the guardhouse, mister?
If best to serve my country more, then yes, shackle me. Cut from me my tongue.
I'm toying with that idea. Captain Quint, sir?
Sergeant?
Any idea whose rig that is outside? A horse and wagon, Captain? It's his.
Something wrong, are they?
Your horse is ailing. Better see to it.
Oh, she ain't at. Not for too long, she ain't.
Corporal of the guard will give you a hand. Show you where to move that rig. Now, go on.
I sure will.
Allow me to introduce myself.
Go help your friend.
Oh, I dare say he's equal to the task, while I, on the other hand...
Move!
Exactly, Sergeant.
What is that all about, Gores?
Now, ain't that something? They're answering the call to the colors, Captain.
They're what?
Well, you could put it another way, I guess. They're starving to death.
How many new men out there, Captain?
In B Company, 20.
Pretty sorry sight. Must have hit the bottom of the barrel.
A long time ago, Major. After that, we scraped it. What you see out there is after scraping.
And a horse! Out! Forward!
One, two, foot!
Foot!
Two, three!
Foot!
Foot!
Two,
three!
They can't mount?
Give the sergeant time, Major.
Merriweather, Feeney, mount!
Sergeant, we're flying.
I've seen enough, Captain. We've got plans to lay out.
Yes, sir.
What have we got out there, Lee?
Pretty good cross-section of what's coming into the Army these days, Major.
It's still a question. What's that?
Dregs, failures, fugitives. Men running from the law, from women, from work. Men running from themselves.
Just before they blow their brains out, they join the Army. Is that what we've come to?
They can still stop bullets and arrows.
I don't expect talk like that from you, Captain.
It's straight talk.
I don't see that. We'll talk about it inside. Oh, sit down, Captain.
Thank you, sir.
Men who can stop bullets and arrows. Since when did you start feeling that way about the Army?
I'm in the Army. That's how I feel about it. I didn't get here by accident, Major. I meant to. That's all the Army is. How men feel about it. It's good or bad on that feeling.
These new men... I didn't see any Sergeant Gorses among them.
Gorse is a 30-year man. He's like me. Doesn't know any better. Or any worse.
Now, what does that mean, any worse?
It means we didn't try anything else and fail. Some of your new army out in that parade ground joined up out of plain hunger. Their feeling for the Army is it's a place to eat, get clothes to wear, and a cot to sleep on.
Maybe the Army's at fault. If this is all we can attract, we must be to blame.
50 cents a day and all the jerky you can eat? Sure, the Army's at fault. But the kind of trooper you want isn't up for a price. That feeling I was talking about, well, it's not something you can buy.
I hope it's something we can cultivate. We're going to need it soon. Here. Pete Hazen's report on the Wind River area.
Shoshone?
Yeah, and the Sioux. Hazen says Crazy Horse led a few dog soldiers into the Shoshone encampment about a week ago. It's all in the report. But they're powwowing about something.
We haven't had a patrol over there since early last fall. They had a bad winter, didn't they? Snows?
Yeah, worst in years. Now they've melted, those range peaks will be a lot more accessible.
Well, we shouldn't have any trouble with good scouting. And Pete's the best there is.
Yeah, we'll have to do without him. He's been sent up to Montana country. Won't be back for at least a month. You read his report and study the Wind River range maps. We may have to move before the month's out.
I hope they learn to mount by then.
Have to do the best we can, Captain.
Against dog soldiers, Major? We'll have to do better than we can. It's no good for us. Come in.
You busy, Captain?
Yeah, I am, Mr. Sabbats.
Still with the maps, huh?
Still with them. Oh, what's that? More reports in Wind River?
Oh, no, sir. It's something I thought you'd want to see, though.
Winter Garden, Booth Benefit for the Shakespeare Statue Fund, Friday evening, November 25th, 1864... Julius Caesar.
I was there, Captain.
You were?
Yes, sir. That's the playbill.
Yeah, I see it is.
I've never forgotten it. It was a year before I went to West Point. But I had enough sense to know that I was experiencing one of the rare moments in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You see there? Junius Booth played Cassius, Edwin was Brutus.
And John Wilkes Booth was Mark Antony.
Yes, sir. Of course, that was before he...
Well, it's very interesting, Mr. Seibert.
But you don't know why I wanted to show it to you yet. Look who played Casca.
Casca, Mr. Granville Merriweather.
Well?
Well?
Well, he's here, Captain. He's joined the Army. As a matter of fact, he's in B Company.
He's been in B Company nearly 3 weeks now.
Yes, sir, I know, except that I didn't realize he was the Granville Merriweather. And a while ago, I got to looking through a bunch of old playbills, and I ran across this. Well, he's played nearly all of Shakespeare, Captain.
He still can't mount a horse, Mr. Syberts.
I know, and I don't understand it. On the stage, he moves with the greatest ease and grace. For instance, in duels on the stage, of course. I've seen him show
Mr.
real agility.
Mr. Syberts.
Oh, you said you were busy, didn't you?
I said I was.
I wonder, Captain. Maybe if I work with Mr. Merriweather on his horsemanship.
You make a trooper out of him, you're due for a medal. Oh. Tell him to make out he's learning for a part.
That might be the best approach. Tell you the truth, I'd like to meet him and talk to him anyway.
You talk to him. Ask him if he ever played the part of Kit Carson.
Kit Carson, Captain?
Yeah. We could use a good guide.
Right easy now, posy girl. Just stretch your legs good. You ain't up to more. Showing me a little, huh? Well, it's not that I ain't pleased, posy girl, but you got any idea what'd happen to me if they found me out here this time of night? Matter of fact, they found you around here at all, they'd... You work good. You come along now, I'll blanket you. There's oats and water waiting. I need you taking cold, girl. You need this blanket a sight more than I do. There you go now. Get to your eating. I'll stand watch on you.
You just don't learn much, do you, Feeney?
Do what? Oh, it's you, Sergeant. I swear I'm just no hand to see at night.
You seem good enough to lead Posey around the corral, led her straight to oats and water. You see good at night, Feeney.
Much obliged you're saying so, Sergeant, but
you don't hear real good, though, night or day.
Well, now, there's where I have my real trouble, Sergeant, hearing. Oh, I sure hope I didn't miss nothing important.
You missed tattoo again, Feeney. That's going on 2 weeks running, you missed tattoo.
Well, now, that's bad. I know it is.
You missed hearing me tell you to get rid of Posey. You missed all them warnings about stealing oats and buying stall space from the stable detail with that tonic of yours.
Do you think it's wax, Sergeant, all clogged up there in my ears? You think that's the cause?
I just think one thing about it, Feeney. I think it's all behind you.
You do?
One thing, we're moving out in a day or so. Now, if you're out on patrol, I just don't see you stealing back here every night tending to Posey.
That puts a crimp in it, all right.
Another thing, between now and then, your time's liable to be more occupied. You might even say confining.
Do what?
You're going to be in the guardhouse till then, Feeney.
Oh. Ain't you going to wash up, Merriweather?
I am a saintly man, Feeney, and cleanliness is only next to godliness.
And I've been next to you. You've been 2 days in that, McClellan. A little of this sweet water won't hurt you none.
Sweet water. Your ignorance is boundless as always, Feeney.
Oh, now, ain't you smart. This is sweet water, every single drop of it. Sweetwater River, that's its name.
What's in the name? Oh, but indeed, what's in a name?
Cuts right between the two ranges, as Sweetwater does, the Granite Mountains to the north and down that way the Green Mountains.
You traveled with Lewis and Clark, I presume.
Well, I've been darn near every place there was. Me and Posey, we sold our little tonic all over.
Oh, I say, Feeney, the elixir. You brought a few tankards with you, surely?
Oh, it's all gone, Merriweather. What you didn't swill down, what I didn't use to buy stall space, why, that sergeant just plain took prisoner.
Yeah, but the formula, you can make more.
Formula? You use the right base, you can add what you will. It's no matter. Yes, sir, Merriweather, we put some riding in the last couple days. We can't be more than a day from the Wind River range.
The right base? It's
corn liquor when I can get it.
Now,
to get to Wind River, they must figure on cutting up to Beaver Creek, following it to the Little Popo Adji and end of the basin from there. Leastwise, that's what I'd do.
Yes, yes, now, but suppose I can't lay my hands on a quantity of corn liquor, as you call it.
As everyone calls it, that's its name. But that being the case, learn a lesson, Merriweather. Any fruit will ferment left alone.
Brilliant, Feeney. Brilliant observation. I'll remember that.
You go far enough up through that basin, you can see cow elk and their young feeding on choke cherries. And right alongside, there's apt to be black bears drinking from the stream. Yes, sir, and where it's swampy like as not, there'll be moose grazing.
You know what you're talking about, Feeney?
Captain, sir?
Yes, sir, Captain?
You got a uniform, Feeney?
Yes, sir, I sure have. It's right over there, sir.
Put it on.
Yes, sir.
Glad you spoke out that way, Captain. The man might chill. And...
Merriweather.
Right here, sir.
Report to Sergeant Gorse. Tell him I said you were to stand picket duty tonight.
Yes, sir.
And the rest of this duty, all I want to hear out of you is yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Move out. You'll draw extra guard duty when we get back to Fort Laramie, Feeney. A man assigned to tether horses isn't supposed to take a bath first.
Yes, sir.
You know this country? Or were you just out jawing Merriweather?
Oh, I know it, sir. From the basin clean up to the ice fields.
Travel it by horse, did you?
Part-time. Part-time leading, Posey. The going steep you get up in the range itself.
Say I want to follow Wind River to where it joins Green River, and then
I beg pardon, Captain.
Well?
You can't do that, what you said. Wind River don't join Green River nowhere.
All right. You know the Shoshone?
I traded with them.
Fair?
When it struck me to.
You don't like them?
Well, they're people. Some is rotten and some suits me fine. I traded fair with them that suits me.
You joined the army to get back at the rotten ones, huh?
No, sir, that ain't why.
Why then?
I joined the army so as I could eat regular.
I got some maps, some scout reports in my tent, Feeney. You got a job of reading ahead tonight.
Well, I ain't the best reader in the world, Captain.
Then I'll read them to you. Nothing says an army scout's got to know how to read.
You going by map or instinct, Captain?
By map, instinct, and Feeney. If he's right, we cut 40 miles off our old course.
It's a hard pull on the horses.
Well, Posey made it under full pack.
You sure sold on Feeney, ain't you, Captain?
Gotta be. He's as near to a scout I got.
We got a rendezvous point with him?
Yep, over this ridge. There's forage there and water. And that's by map, instinct, and Feeney.
Yes, sir.
Well, how does it look to you, Sergeant?
Like Feeney knows his business, Captain.
Well, let's go down.
There's a horse yonder, Captain, over by the stream.
Yeah, I see it. Feeney.
Kind of hoped I'd last till you showed up, Captain.
How bad is it, Feeney?
I'm full of holes and dripping. Ain't nothing you can do except listen while I got the breath.
I'm listening.
It's a big camp, Captain. Must be 1,000 Shoshone. Half of them warriors.
Hazen's report said crazy horse and dog soldiers.
And more moving in from the north. All the time. I saw a lot of Sioux. You'll need all the army you got and then some. And my blouse, Captain.
Yeah, I'll get it.
It's a map. Best I could draw. They're in a box canyon. You can get them good if they stay put.
Thank you, Feeney. Feeney, you better stick around. We need you real bad.
Can't oblige you, Captain. I'd like to, but I...
You want something, Feeney?
Yes, sir. Meriwether.
Meriwether? Feeney.
You stay too, Captain. He'll need a witness. I'm willing him something.
You always get in trouble alone, Feeney. Without me, you bungle everything.
You want to come along, Meriwether? I'm dying.
Comics don't die, Feeney. They don't know how. No true sense of tragedy in me.
You get Posey, Meriwether. Treat her good now. I won't.
Feeney. Feeney.
He can't answer you now, Trooper.
What kind of an exit line was that? You see, I told you. Even on a curtain speech,
I'm afraid this isn't my best performance, Captain.
Maybe it is, Meriwether. Maybe because you're not play acting.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were John Daner and Parley Bear. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss.
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. For the younger members of the family, this is an ideal time of year. School's out and they have plenty of time to play and be with their friends. Perhaps it's not quite so easy for us grown-ups who are thinking ahead to the time when our children will be ready for college, wondering whether we'll be ready with enough money to pay their tuition. Instead of fretting, sign up with a payroll savings plan where you work. Start buying those safe, profitable United States savings bonds regularly. Start now to invest in your future security and in the security of your country. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
This is close enough. Let's leave the horses here, Boyle.
Okay.
Don't forget your rifle.
Yeah, I got it. That's him over by the corral. Looks like he's alone, all right.
He's alone. Who else could stand being around them stinking sheep?
Must be something awful wrong with a man like that, Kel.
There is. We're gonna set it right. Watch him now.
I don't see he's wearing a gun.
Probably got one hit out nearby.
Hello?
Your name Gideon Seek?
It is.
He's your sheep?
Yeah.
You got anybody helping you?
I always work alone.
I notice you ain't wearing a gun, Seek.
I don't even own a gun.
You don't?
I don't believe in killing.
Well, we do.
Most men do.
Seek, this is cow country. You know what that means?
Oh, it's my sheep.
We gotta make an example of you. Other people might get ideas. If we don't, pretty soon the country'd turn white with them willies.
But I only have a few. Only 24 of them.
That's 24 too many. We're gonna kill them, Seek. We're gonna shoot every one of them.
Oh, no.
You go running to the law, we'll come back and shoot you.
But you can't kill them.
If you try to stop us, we'll have to hit you on the head.
I won't do anything.
He's too scared, Kel. Come on, let's get to work.
Oh, please. Please, don't kill those animals.
You just stand right there. We'll be keeping one eye on you. You start the other end, boys. I'll start here.
Okay.
But you mustn't do it.
You'll have a lot of meat left if you eat sheep meat.
I don't eat any kind of meat, but you mustn't kill them.
Shut up. Let's get it done, boys.
I'm ready.
Go ahead, then. Stand back, Seek.
You know, please. No.
Matt, you sure Chester's gonna bring my mail back to you?
Well, he said he would, Doc.
But where is he? The Santa Fe pulled in 2 hours ago.
Well, they have to sort it, don't they? What are you so anxious about, anyway? You expecting a lot of money or something?
I could use a little money. Oh, and there's a man who owes me $20.
Oh.
Gideon Seek. He's just getting off his wagon there.
Well, Gideon's an honest man. He'll pay you.
Oh, I know that. I'm not worried about him.
Good morning, Doc.
Well,
Marshal.
Morning, Gideon.
How are you?
Doc, I got bad news for you.
Oh?
I'd meant to bring in some sheep today, and I was going to pay you when I sold them.
Oh, well, I can wait, Gideon.
Well, I'm afraid it'll be a long time now, Doc.
Oh, that's all right.
Something happened, Gideon?
I lost my sheep, Marshal.
You lost them?
I'm going to get some more as soon as I can, and I'll pay you, Doc. Now, you know I'll pay you.
Oh, of course I do.
Well, goodbye.
So long, Gideon.
Oh, he's a strange one.
Yeah, he is.
But how could a man lose all his sheep, man?
I don't know, Doc. But I got to ride out that way in a couple of days. I'll stop by and have a look.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggard, really started something. Tonight, we'd like to introduce a player piano that could have come right out of the Long Branch in Dodge City.
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Because it's more perfectly packed by Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
See old Gideon nowhere's around, Mr. Jones.
He's probably in the shed, Chester.
Mm-hmm. What's that big pile of dirt he's got out there?
I don't know. Maybe he's digging a well.
Oh, no. That's too much dirt for a well.
Huh? Well, then ask him what it is.
Hello, Gideon.
Hello, Chester. Marshall.
Gideon.
Would you come inside?
No, thanks, Gideon. We were just riding by. Chester was wondering what you're digging out there.
Oh, well, that's a grave.
A grave?
My sheep are buried there.
What happened, Gideon?
They got killed.
How?
It doesn't matter, Marshal. I'm going to get some more when I can.
Who did it, Gideon? Tell me.
A couple of men. They shot them.
They shot all your sheep?
Yeah, it's no use asking me their names. I won't tell you.
Don't you want them caught?
No.
Look, Gideon, I know you're a peaceful man. And that you never carry a gun and all, but this is a matter for the law. Now, you tell me who did it so I can go after him.
No, I can't.
Why not?
I don't believe in killing, Marshal.
I didn't say I was going to kill him.
They killed your sheep, didn't they?
That you don't understand.
Then you better tell us.
I don't believe in killing for any reason, even for food. And I don't believe in trying to resist evil.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if a man strikes me, I don't strike back.
But don't you believe in defending yourself?
The men who killed my sheep will be punished.
They will if I find them.
No, Marshal. Their own conscience will punish them.
Look, Gideon, you've got a right to think any way you want to think. But so have I. And I'm a lawman.
I'm sorry, Marshal, but I can't help you.
Those men aren't through with you yet. You get more sheep on here and they'll be back. And the next time they probably won't stop just with a sheep.
I'll win in the end, Marshal.
You're awful stubborn, aren't you?
No more than you are.
All right, Gideon. It's your funeral. Come on, Chester. Kitty.
Matt, I didn't see you.
You weren't looking for me. Well, did you find something in that window to blow your money on?
You talk like I'm a cowboy in with 6 months' pay.
I know better than that.
Well, you don't act like it. I was only looking at those wool gloves, Matt.
No? Mm-hmm. Oh, those would be nice come winter.
Yeah. By the way, anything new with Gideon?
Well, I haven't seen him since I was out there a couple of weeks ago.
He interests me, that man.
Yeah, me too.
This not fighting back and all. Maybe he's got something, Matt.
He hasn't got his sheep.
No. But he didn't get killed, either. If he'd tried to put up a fight, they'd probably have shot him.
They're still free to do it, whoever they are.
Well, maybe you're right. But at least Gideon's ideas are some different from anybody else's around here.
Yeah, well, that's true for sure.
And it isn't wrong just because it's different.
No.
Think about it, Matt. There can't be a fight unless both parties want it, can there?
Hey, Kitty, look.
Hmm?
Getting off that horse, sir.
Oh, it's Gideon. First time I ever saw him without his wagon.
Yeah.
He's going in to see Mr. Jonas. Maybe he's going to buy a new one.
Maybe. Kitty, I think I'll go say hello.
Oh, sure, Matt. I gotta get back to work anyway.
Yeah, I'll stop by later on, huh?
Good.
It's asking a lot of you to trust me, Mr. Jonas. Things going the way they are.
There ain't many men I trust, Gideon, but you're one of them. Oh, hello, Marshal.
Mr. Jonas, how are you, Gideon?
Hello, Marshal.
Hear what happened, Marshal? Have you told him yet, Gideon?
Oh, it's not important.
Not important? His house burned down, that's all.
Oh?
And his wagon along with it.
I'm going to rebuild. Mr. Jonas told me yesterday that he's going to put me on the books for enough material to get started.
Well, that's mighty good of him.
Oh, glad to do it. Hard-working, honest fellow like Gideon.
Must have been a pretty big fire, Gideon.
Yes, it was.
I mean, to burn your wagon up, too.
I got an old wagon out back he can use. You wait here now. I'll go see just how much material I got on hand.
I'll get in.
Well, what, Marshal?
So they came back and burned your house down, huh?
All right, they did. But I'm still not going to tell you who they are.
They must want you out pretty bad, Gideon.
But I'm staying.
They'll kill you next.
It's no use arguing, Marshal.
Hell, it beats me. I don't know what to do.
Just don't do anything, Marshal.
Like you, huh?
They can't win.
They're doing pretty well so far, Gideon. Now, I can't beat it out of you, but I sure hate to stand by and watch a man let himself be destroyed.
I guess we'll never understand each other, Marshal.
No, I guess not.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your favorite easy chair? Or out driving? Oh, there you are. In the kitchen. Say, you want to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable? Have a Chesterfield. Enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Chester.
You better come outside.
Oh, what's the matter?
Well, there's a wagon out there and Gideon Seeks in it. He must be hurt bad.
What?
There it is. I seen it coming down the street, but there was nobody driving, so I tied the horse up at the rail.
Well, what happened to Gideon?
I don't know. I couldn't see too good in the dark and all, so I come to get you before trying to do anything.
He's been shot, Chester.
He's still alive?
Yeah, but we better get him up to Doc's. Come on, give me a hand here.
Yes.
All right.
Do you think we can ride out and find where it happened? Maybe track him down?
What, at night in the rain?
Well, maybe now he'll tell us who done it.
I doubt it, even if he lives.
He sure does make it hard for the law, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does. Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Matt.
Draw me a beer, will you, Sam?
I'm in a...
How's Gideon Seek today, Matt?
Doc says he'll be all right in time.
But he still won't talk?
Oh, he talks all right. I just don't understand him, that's all.
Well, I guess you're just going to have to let him have his way, Matt.
Here's your beer, Marshal.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
Bartender, bring me another bottle, will you?
Oh, another bottle. He sure needs that.
Yeah, he's pretty drunk, isn't he?
He ought to be. Sam says he's been here since morning.
It doesn't look like he's going to make any trouble, though.
Well, I'm not so sure. He's been drinking like he's awful mad at something.
Kitty?
Huh?
Who's that who just came in?
Oh, I don't know.
I knew I'd find you, Foyle. You had to come here and get drunk, didn't you?
Just leave me alone.
What'd you run off for? What's the matter with you?
I told you what's the matter, now leave me alone.
You ain't quitting now.
I'm through, I told you. I mean it. I can't stand it no more.
I start something, I finish it, and I told you this morning I heard it ain't finished yet.
I don't even like to be around you, Kel. You make me ashamed of myself.
You listen. My horse is down the street. I'm a time next to yours, and then I'm coming back here for you. And you're going with me if I have to carry it.
What do you suppose that's all about, Matt?
I don't know, but I think I'll find out.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Kitty. Hello, Boyles.
Oh, you're the marshal, ain't you?
Yeah. What's bothering you?
Plenty. But it ain't none of your business.
What did you do to make you so ashamed of yourself?
Nothing.
You're a cattleman, aren't you?
I'm proud to be one. I sure ain't no stinking sheep herder, no lousy sheep herder.
No, and I don't think you're a coward either.
What?
But you're feeling like one. That's why you're ashamed of yourself. It's kind of hard to beat down a man who won't fight back, isn't it?
How'd you find out, Marshal?
From you, I guess.
We ain't dead. Kel heard about that this morning, but I ain't going on with it. I'm through. I can't stand it no more.
You finish your drink, Foyles. I'll be back directly.
Well, where are you going, Mr. Dillon?
Wait right here, Chester. I may need you.
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you want, Marshal?
I've been talking to your partner, Kel.
What?
Kind of broken him down, what you two have been doing lately.
What are you saying?
It's made him ashamed. Now, you heard him. He can't stand it anymore.
If it's Voiles you're talking about, he's drunk. He always gets to feeling sorry for himself when he's drunk.
Uh-huh. You shot a man last night, Kel. You left him for dead.
You better be ready to back that up, Marshal.
I'm ready.
All right, you can have Voiles. He won't fight. But you ain't taking me.
You think I'm going to let you ride out of here?
Enough talk, Marshal.
Is he dead, Mr. Dillon?
He's dead, Chester.
But what happened? Who is he?
There's a man at the bar of the Long Branch. His name's Voiles. He's drunk. Go lock him up.
Voiles? Who's he?
Like Gideon said, Chester, Voiles punished himself. And he was wrong about Kel here. I had to do that. So I guess we were both right.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better,
And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, when frontier settlers cleared their land, they left the brush piled around their place and earned the name Nester, because from a distance it looked like a big old bird's nest. Well, next week, a nester causes trouble when he won't leave his land. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, John Daner, Harry Bartell, and Jack Moyles. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Live modern. Smoke L&M. Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you the full, exciting flavor you get through the pure white miracle tip. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.